This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Back of the Nest Preview Show. Sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford, and tonight I am joined by Sam Hesketh and Albert Curley as we build you up to Chelsea's visit to Selhurst Park. This podcast does come with a health warning. Listening to us through blood clots is worse for your health than AstraZeneca.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, welcome everybody to the show. It's Chelsea. We notoriously do great against them, so this is going to be fun and optimistic. But before we get into all of that, let's introduce you to who has joined me tonight. I've got one Albert Curley.
One Albert Curley.
Thank God there's only one Albert Curley.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And Sam Hesketh, of course.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello.
No chant for you.
No chant for me.
Enjoyed our pre-show talk, Hesketh, about you proclaiming to your missus for the entire first half against Everton that James Rodriguez should be directed onto his right foot.
Yeah, he's got no right foot. He's got his right foot. He's shit. He can't do anything. Oh.
Oh, excellent. Right, anyway, before we go any further...
I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer?
I wasn't expecting that jingle. I was expecting the other one. Right. I've got Pink Chimneys today.
Yeah, but what are you drinking?
By S43 Brewery from Durham. Never had this before.
I thought Pink Chimneys was one of the possible side effects from the AstraZeneca.
Well, with it, this being 6.9%, I'm getting up out of this chair after is probably going to give me a big accident.
What's the blurb on the back say today?
This one's a bit, crappy, this one, to be honest. For the love of beer, we think beer is the most diverse drink out there for any occasion, and that's why we love it. Our mission is to make brews we are proud of and are exciting to try. We pour our love for them into every single can we make. Our thirst for exploring all diverse forms of craft beer and making each batch more exciting than the last has never been stronger.
But it's meant to be really good. Yeah, so I'll let you know what you guys drinking.
Alas, I'm just drinking a pint of water.
My mine is the complete. Yours was very waffly and all very diverse. I'm drinking British Lager, Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, very good.
From the Eagle Brewery.
Did you get it for free off Terence?
No, I got it with 20% off from my mother, who is Marks and Spencer's alumni. It's all right. You know, people think Budweiser's bland. This British lager is shit. No, it doesn't. that's not what it says on the can. That's not me reading the blurb.
That's my selling point.
Hang on. About this beer, typical lager ingredients and processes are used to produce this beer, modern hop varieties give this lager a contemporary twist. Perfect match for curry dishes and fish and chips. Everything, really. So, broad British lager.
It sounds like weirdly Brexit, but then saying that it should be drunk with curries. I don't know.
Anyway,
conspiracy theories is what I've got written down as my first note. We were getting into it on WhatsApp today about AstraZeneca being the only free vaccine that is getting peppered in the press. You went on some right diatribe, Albert, pulling out the leaflets for any drugs you could find in the house.
Legal ones, I might add. Those don't come with leaflets. Strangely written on a little wrap of paper. Very small print. I just thought it was interesting to see what the stuff in the cupboard said. And what was my favourite one was from an anti-inflammatory that I take for gout occasionally.
Ouch.
Pink frothy sputum.
Hang on, is that the name of this beer I'm drinking? Oh no, pink chimney.
No, you're going to have, I'm going to send you a can of pink frothy sputum next week after I've done a whole packet of naproxen.
I thought you was going to say that the anti-inflammatories were for your Leslie Ash lips when you had COVID. Mate, back in the day.
Didn't touch them.
Yeah,
have you ever had pink frothy sputum? I nearly said something else.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't. And no, I haven't. Thank you very much.
Good.
Cool. Plenty of time left yet, though.
Shout out to all the gout crew out there. Get your pink frothy sputum down, yeah. So is that a side effect? Sorry, what is it?
That was a possible side effect of an anti-inflammatory.
It's written down under bonus.
Pink frothy sputum.
If that is not put on the tweet when we send out tomorrow with this podcast, we've got to have angry words with whoever does it.
Oh, I'll be livid.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well,
who's going to be the first one to Google pink frothy sputum?
Already done it.
Good lad. Put it in the chat.
Yeah. It comes up with, people also search blue waffle.
So. Oh, for God's sake.
Right, moving on. Club are going big and hard on the Zenith Data Systems Trophy win, the anniversary of that. Hesketh, special program coming out for the game against Chelsea. I think we might be doing like a minute silence in memory of the first and last trophy we'll ever win. Retro shirt coming out. Benteke looking very dashing in it. Benteke, that's his name. Benteke. Looking very dashing. Yeah.
Benjamin Teke.
I've actually got a Zenith Data Systems Cup winners mug. Emphasis on the word mug, no doubt. But it takes pride of place amongst my like 17 other Palace mugs. Still going strong. So as durable as the Zenith Data Systems tournament itself.
It's a Zenith Data Systems Cup.
It is a ZDSCC.
Yeah, nice.
It's like it's very hipster trophy to have in your collection.
Yeah.
Not many teams won it.
Exactly. Who's going to know that we beat Norwich in the area final, for example?
Did we beat Brighton on the way as well?
Probably.
New hipster for me. Hang on.
I remember writing articles about it, and I think it might have been the following season in our defence of it that we beat them. But maybe I think we might have beat them in the first round or second round or something.
I will say that I do like the kit though.
It does look good, and it's nice that they got Buxer on it. They obviously had problems with the 97-98 remake they did, where Adidas just didn't want anything to do with it. So, hence, you can't have the three stripes on it and Adidas, which kind of took away from the whole shirt, really, because I think the really thick three Adidas stripes on that looked.
Could they have not done a deal with Adi Hash? I'm sure that was big around 97-98 in Camden Market.
Yeah, get a bonus pair of spliffy jeans as well.
It'd have to be a lawsuit for Adi Hash.
Four stripes, though, wouldn't it? It'd have to be. It would either four stripes or two stripes with the fakes back in the day of those.
Four stripe, definitely.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, we did beat Brighton on the way.
Yeah.
Beat them 2-0.
There you go. Know what I'm talking about sometimes. Were you at that game, Hesketh, or just missed it a bit too young?
The final?
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'd been to Palace, but I didn't get a ticket final. I had a VHS of it there.
Mm.
So that was obviously a delight in my childhood of just watching that on repeat.
And obviously, Albert, you're way too young. You wouldn't have been there.
No, wasn't there, I'm afraid.
No, me neither. 94 was my first game, as we've talked about before. So just missed that. And was also, I mean, we all probably missed a 4-3 as well, live in that sense. I mean, I remember watching the 4-3 on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah, I watched it on telly.
Mm,
it was all downhill from there, really.
The whole day, in terms of the FA Cup semi-finals that day, didn't the second one finish 3-3 as well, the Man United game?
Yeah.
Unbelievable day.
Imagine us scoring 4 goals now.
Were you really whingy back then?
Me? Yeah.
Were you watching that going, ah, we've conceded 3.
We scored too early.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could just there, just being like, Alan Pardew, murder. I was about to speak in German now. I don't know why I'm not French, so missed it. 4-3, you think would be the sort of score lines would get your season tickets, but season ticket sales have apparently been good anyway. Whether the club's just saying this to, I don't know, try and say, get in early and get your tickets, but they're suggesting that sales have been really good. Now, Albert, this can't be down to the football. So it must just be the optimism of getting back into stadiums and that we might have a new manager coming in.
I think it's the prospect of those soggy chips, isn't it? Everybody wants to get back and have soggy chips.
Mm.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Tasty jerk.
Oh, now we're talking. Fingers about that tea. But considering you live very close, you don't need the season ticket to reap the benefits of the tasty jerk.
Do you know what? It never even crosses my mind to get some.
You fucking spoilt bastard. You just don't even...
There's a lot of good restaurants around here. I could just walk down there and get one. Maybe I'll start doing that next week.
The ultimate way you could troll me is if you appeared, because now we can see each other. If I fucking logged into this chat, this webcam, whatever it's called, on time to see you tucking into a fucking tasty jerk, I'd be livid.
You know what's coming. It's on cue next week. I'm just going to be here finger licking.
Livid, potentially aroused. It could go either way.
We're back to the sputum, aren't we?
Pink frothy sputum.
When I'm getting all dirty den from EastEnders, licking my fingers on the webcam at you.
Now we're talking.
Actually, you've renewed yours, haven't you, Hesketh? Have you done yours yet, Albert? Did you even have one to renew?
Yes. I deferred for shielding purposes. Thank you. So I've already paid for half of it.
Mm. That was nice, only having to pay like, I don't know, I think mine was 70 quid or something, because I went to one game and you didn't pay for the first two. So it was nice to just not have to fork out 500 quid.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out how much to charge the bloke I share with. He's not really on top of the numbers.
I would say, in that case, half of 495.
Well, yes, but because I get one for my son as well, I get the discount. So it's like, do I charge him half of the discounted price?
No.
No, because if I didn't have the child's ticket, it wouldn't be a discounted price. We'd have to give me half of a full price ticket. Lots of, I'm not at work at the moment. I've been thinking about this for about 3 hours over the course of the
day. Have you done a pros and cons list? Like,
pros, more money for me. Cons.
You'd be a con, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I'll figure that out with Jim.
Or, I don't know. Ask the kid. See what a kid thinks.
He'll say, can I just have the 95 quid and not bother coming?
Yeah, why are you doing this to me? This is child abuse.
Exactly.
If the sales have indeed been good, I mean, I'll put it down to, it is, I can't wait to get back into the stadiums now. Like, we had that little taster against Spurs, and it was a great day, but still being only 2,000 people, it wasn't the same. But yeah, really excited to get back in there with some more people. And
when we say sales, though, we mean renewals, right?
Well, renewals, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the renew. I think it's in June is when any just left over will go on sale. Because a friend of mine from our NCT classes when we had the baby, he's looking to get his first Palace season ticket after
chewed his ear off, beating him
yeah. into submission. Now he'd been to a couple of games before I met him, and he's been to a couple since as well. So he's really keen to get a season ticket. He wanted one before, but just didn't have anyone to go with, and didn't want to go on his own. So now he knows people.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's been buying like single match tickets in the Arfa for like every game of a season.
Aren't they like 40 odd quid as well?
Yeah, they're not cheap. So now he's looking just for a single, you know, like a single seat in the lower Holmesdale. So I'm sure he'll get one.
There's probably
easier to get like the old one here and there than it is to try and buy like four.
Yeah. We'll take it off air, but we'll see if we can get them next to each other.
Matchmaking.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. You got a Palace friend to go with. Anyway, I didn't comment on this pink chimneys. It's pretty good. It's a Galaxy Citroen New England IPA, for those that are interested. Lovely nice, stuff. Look.
Nicely bookended. Put a jingle here.
What else we got? Patrick Van Aanholt. Now, he was... he's touched on the racist abuse he got a few weeks ago. We already talked about that back then, but it kind of ties in as well with Swansea's social media going on a week-long blackout today. They saying that racism is enough. It's a good move from Swansea, and a lot of people, notably Andros Townsend's old man Troy Townsend, being the head of Kick It Out, has been very supportive with it. Can you, Albert, can you see more people, more teams following suit with this and taking this sort of approach? Do you think it's the right sort of approach?
Yeah, it's definitely the right sort of approach. I'll be honest, I'm surprised after the Thierry Henry, you know, his stance that he took. I was surprised that, and maybe I've missed it, but I was surprised that there weren't more people joining with that on an individual basis, you know, let alone whole football clubs. But yeah, I mean, obviously Zaha's been very vocal about how action needs to be taken, and his, you know, his decision to not take the knee, which is completely, you know, his decision to make. I'll be honest, I'm surprised more hasn't been done, again, whether it's individuals or on the basis of a club. Maybe Swansea are the first who are going to set a bit of a trend over the coming months, because it doesn't seem to be a problem that's going anywhere anytime soon, sadly.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of it being teams more than individuals, right? Because I think PVA has talked about in the past, and so has Wilf, like, why should we come off social media? Like, I enjoy social media when it, like, the good parts of it and so on, and just because I'm a black man, I should not have to come off social media. It doesn't feel right. But where a team's doing it, a team represents everyone who supports that team, right? So then having a complete like turn off of their social media and getting people thinking, oh, actually I can't read social media from my team because people who support my club or other Premier League clubs are racist towards our players. So I think it needs to come from more that sort of scope, as opposed to, you know, it's sad that Thierry Henry's like left Twitter, as you know, Twitter shouldn't want him to leave either, you know, just in terms of what it's worth to that, he's worth to their brand. He's got millions and millions of followers, and he's an important person in, you know, the world of football. So yeah, it's really sad. So I don't think that should be the case, that people should be forced off. We should be more forcing off the people that are giving out this abuse, or at least trying to open their eyes and educate them and make them think better about these things. But he also, in this interview, he went off and talked about contract talk, Hesketh. He said he loves it. He loves it at Palace, and it's just pretty much like Townsend said the other day. They've got to wait to the end of the season, and we're going to mop it all up then. Is there anything else we can really say on this? I mean, there's been loads of manager talk, but it's going to depend on if Hodgson stays or if someone new comes in, right?
Yeah, and I think with PVA, he's going to have a fair few clubs after him you know, whether that's going back to Holland or going to somewhere like Turkey, or even, you know, he was linked with Leeds and Arsenal recently as well.
How would he play for both?
Good point. Would he get two sets of wages?
I mean, I know he's prone to being out of position, but to appear in another team's first 11, that's...
He's somewhere in Walsall at the moment.
He's 200 miles out of position. I can't believe it.
For both clubs.
he's just gonna rock up in Milton Keynes and just...
Yeah.
It'll be like when this beer's already going to my head. When Mateta's social media guy put him in Exeter's St James's Park and not Newcastle St James's Park. dearie me. And talking about going to Arsenal, we've got the whole Zaha to Arsenal all over again. Now, is this just the press talking? Is it just an easy link because it's made in the past? Is it kind of like whenever we're linked with... who was that Fiorentina striker that we were linked with every window for about 5 years?
Boubacar Kamara.
Yes, exactly. Is this just lazy journalism like that? Like, there's been a link in the past, let's just write a clickbait story.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they always go back on like, oh, he's an Arsenal fan. And then the Arsenal, like, Twitter brigade get hold of it and start hamming it and, you know, tweeting at him and all
come,
that.
Come carpet, bruv.
Oh, God.
Free Zaha.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, stories that like Arsenal would quite like Zaha, I'm sure they would, because he's better than Pepe and you spent 70 odd million quid on him. But I don't know, like, we get it every year. It's a bit boring. I think he's probably more likely to stay.
Yeah, I could imagine Arsenal fans in these sort of things saying that we'll do a swap for Pepe and they give us 10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, mate. Albert, we kind of have this chat every season, but do you feel like this is going to be the summer that Wilf leaves? Now he's 28. We probably want money. If you think of everything that's going on in the background at a club at the moment, we've just done the youth academy up. We want to do the main stand. There's been COVID. His contract is starting to get towards the latter stages of it. Is now the right time to sell him just for, you know, the club wanting and needing the money? Or does selling him put off any new manager coming in? Because I'm sure any new manager coming in would want Wilfried Zaha as part of their plans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a big factor. We need to know what's going on with the manager first before we can sit here and say, oh, yeah, it's a great time to let Zaha go, because, you know, if we're going to keep Roy Hodgson... And no disrespect to Roy, I mean, Zaha, more often than not, is the difference in whether it's a mildly entertaining performance or an absolute dross performance. And even with Wilf in the team, it's not guaranteed. So if we were going to keep Hodgson, to lose Zaha, I think would be a disaster. But at the same time, we're at a real crossroads this summer. There's going to be a lot of changes, whether it's, you know, half of those players that are out of contract leaving, throw that in with a new manager potentially coming in. It's a big, big old shake-up at the club. And, you know, if we can get, I mean, what would we get now? 40 million? Would we accept 40 million? If we could get that, you know, that's half of that goes into the background of the club and the academy and the main stand, if that ever happens, you know, and 20 million in the kitty for a new manager. Is that the, you know, is that the way you soften the blow by sort of folding it into this huge, you know, rebuilding job at the club? Obviously, however you spin it, I don't want to see him go, but it gets to a point where you can't begrudge him if he really does want to go and there's somebody willing to pay the price.
Yeah, I think we'd probably want a bit more than 40, maybe sort of between 50 and 60, somewhere around that. But I mean, I have seen other articles suggesting we have the good old famous war chest available this summer of 40 million to spend anyway. And I'm wondering if that's something to do with this new owner coming in and the way they're structuring things in the background. But yeah, we certainly need money to do things. And I mean, sorry, Albert, but Watford have just been new permission for a new ground, right? Planning permission and all that.
No, they've been given planning permission. I signed the petition only a few days ago.
So, but they're seeking it, right? They're trying to build a new stadium.
They're seeking it, and it's a disaster for me if it happens, I'll be honest.
So why does it come on your doorstep?
It comes a lot closer to my doorstep, and it was an area that I was potentially looking to move to, but if the fucking ground's going to be just over my garden fence, fuck that.
Is that what you wrote in the petition?
Yeah. Words to that effect.
But what do you reckon will get done first? Watford's new ground or our main stand?
Well, if they get permission, you can nail it on, just to rub it in my nose that they'll get a brand new stadium about 300 yards from my house.
And your son starts popping his head over the fence going, what's going on over there, Dad?
Fuck's sake. Who's that prick in the wasp costume?
Don't go near him, son.
He's your new neighbour. Sorry about that.
His name's Jeff.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fun time videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, let's move towards the preview. Before we get into the preview, it's a little ad time, and this week we're talking about Pitch Sports. And you can win 50 quid off us this week. 50 quid, I'm getting involved. I have no qualms about winning this competition.
Not off us personally.
What, off Back of the Nest? I think it's off us personally. Fine.
What?
Yeah, I it's off sign the Back of this. The Nest.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I haven't got to contribute to that.
No.
Oh, yeah, fine. Yeah, fill your boots.
So download the Pitch Sports app.
Doing
and then
now.
Join the four play league this week where you've got to predict four games.
Yeah, Excuse me?
Who misses? You predict four games. Well, actually, our history of predictions, we've got zero chance of winning that 50 quid, I think. Yeah, and then if you are, you should tweet your username to us, at Back of the Nest. And if you rank as the highest Palace member that week, you win 50 quid. Easy money.
There you are. Pitch Sport.
Pitch Sport. And what did you predict last week for the this game? I think, Hesketh, you said 2-0.
Yep, 2-0.
2-0 Everton. So no points for you there. So you're not getting 50 quid. What did you say, Albert?
I think I wanted 2-0. But I think I went 2-1 in the end.
Did I optimistically say a draw? I can't remember. I think there's a chance I might have said 1-1, you know. I'm pretty sure I said 1-1.
Nah.
Definitely. I remember I said 1-1 with Batshuayi to get a late equaliser. It's plain as day. I'm winning the 50 quid.
This is all going to come out of DR's pocket money. So,
to be honest, I want, if it is, if I do win this 50 quid, I want DR to deliver it personally in the form of a gift card to his dad's kebab. And then that'll be me. I'm just getting dinners for the next few weeks. Right, so yeah, Pitch Sport, download it, join the four play league, win 50 quid, easy money. Right, so this week we play Chelsea, delightful team for us, particularly under Roy Hodgson. It's kind of the approach, try and only lose 2-0, tend to lose 3 or 4-0 kind of vibe since Hodgson came in. A bit like Everton last week, it felt like we did well against for a while, and then we don't do well against them anymore. Six in a row they've beaten us in all competitions, Albert. Does that give you any optimism that the run's about to come to an end for Chelsea?
You say six in a row?
Six wins in a row in all comps, yeah. Chelsea have won.
Yeah, there's been some heavy ones as well, isn't there? So,
4-0 at the Bridge this season, wasn't it?
Am I confident that we can get a result? Well, you say that. You say that. I was going to say no. And then you look at how they got tucked up by West Brom at the weekend. So, who knows? And, you know, they've played in the week. Maybe we'll catch them on a bad day. But, yeah, we're going to be up against it, even if we do manage to scrape a point. So, I'm not putting my party hat on just yet.
So, Hesketh, they're unbeaten in their last five Premier League away games. But the tucking up against West Brom, as Albert put it, the 5-2, all came after Thiago Silva got sent off. And he's undoubtedly been integral to Tuchel's team since he came in. They've kept loads and loads of clean sheets, and Thiago Silva's been a great player. And I kind of you think back to the 2014 World Cup semi-final Brazil-Germany, when Germany tanked Brazil 7-1. It was Thiago Silva got injured in the quarterfinal and couldn't play in the semi-final, and the defence just fell apart. So he's clearly, in every defence he plays in, he's like the linchpin of that back line and holds everything together. So is it a bit of clutching at straws here, or is it a chance that their back three could get a bit lost without him?
I mean, you're asking me, so I think you know what I'm going to say. he's obviously a really good player. And I don't know if he made his debut for Chelsea against us, but he certainly came into the team against us at Stamford Bridge and probably had the easiest game of all time. Obviously no one would have predicted that the 5-2 with West Brom, especially West Brom scoring five, seems really odd. But I was going to say, you know, we tend not to have loads and loads of possession up that end of the pitch, and we don't shoot a huge amount. And that's, you know, in that respect, does it matter if Thiago Silva's not playing? Because Tuchel, before that game, obviously Chelsea's records defensively was absolutely amazing. So it'll be tough, whoever plays. I mean, you know, even trying to be positive, I'm struggling a little bit because I just think they're just quite, well, normally tough to break down. And with Michy finally getting a goal the game before he's not allowed to play, it all seems like it's set up for us to sort of play all right, sort of plug away a bit, be all right, and then, yeah, lose 2-0 or something.
Do you know, like, because Batshuayi clearly just slighted Roy Hodgson with scoring that goal and probably really upset him. Albert, do you think he's going to play three strikers against Chelsea and just go all out attack to give him any reason to, like, try and get the strikers to score some goals so he can leave Batshuayi out?
I'd love to say yes, but the answer is no. Roy Hodgson is not going to play three strikers. Yeah, who knows? I mean, as Hesketh's alluded to, it's, you know, we have a striker come on, score a real striker's goal. Can't play the next game. The story of our life. I'm sure we'll see Benteke up front. And you know what? I don't mind that. I mean, again, going back to their sort of centre half options without Silva, I think if they play three at the back, you know, Zuma, you know, Aspilicueta is not a natural centre half. You know, Christensen. They're all players that when they play centre half, they've got a potential cock up in them. You know, they're not all individually outstanding centre half. So maybe, you know, again, without Thiago Silva there, yeah, there's going to be gaps and errors that we can pounce on if we play on the front foot, which we need to start doing, because, all right, against Everton, Guaita has kept us in it with, forgot how many saves, but, you know, we were on the front foot and trying to have a go at them as well. We just didn't result in as many shots on goal. But I think if we adopt that same attitude, there might be some joy.
Now, we talked about Chelsea being good at the back and before conceding the 5 to West Brom, keeping a lot of clean sheets. But Heskey, 5 out of 7 clean sheets in our last 5 clean sheets out of 7 in our last 7 home games. Okay, I'm telling you, like since lockdown, these I just can't drink anymore. Just I get halfway through these shows, I'm halfway through the beer, and my tongue's all over the place. Yeah, so Palace have kept 5 clean sheets now. Last
going back
seven
to the foreplay
games.
League, there aren't we?
I was waiting for it.
I set them up. You just finish them off, mate.
Oh, and again.
So we've been doing. So we've been doing well, particularly at Selhurst, and you know, just going off the back of what Albert said there, Guaita outstanding against Everton yet again, and really putting himself in the forefront for player of the season. I think he's going to really be up there. Yeah, so Chelsea are going to have to. They've been struggling to break teams down as well under Tuchel. They've only been winning games by the odd goals. So, 0-0.
I mean, I take it. I take it. Who do you reckon? A question for you, Terence. Who do you reckon will start up front? Do you reckon he'll just keep up with Benteke, or do you reckon Mateta will get more of a look?
I think the same team will start against. That started against Everton will start against Chelsea, mainly because he has the utmost trust in Benteke, how he defends from the front and particularly defends from corners as well. So I just can't see him. So Chelsea are very dangerous from set pieces. They've scored quite a few goals from set pieces this season. And we're notoriously weak, particularly earlier in the season, but not now. I think... touch wood, we've got over that hiccup and we've got back to defending set piece as well. I think on the Who Scored, we've actually dropped from very weak to weak on defending set pieces, I think.
So, get in!
But, you know, it's that over time, by the end of the season, if we continue not to concede from them, it might just disappear as a weakness because it all happened early on and all happened within a few games of each other. So it skews the stats a bit in that sense. So I don't think he's going to want to upset that apple cart. So, yeah, I can see it just being Benteke and Zaha again. Probably with IU and Eze again. I struggle to see how Townsend's going to get in at the moment over those two, and particularly with Jeff Schlupp coming back as well. It's you saw that instead he rather brought Jeff Schlupp on and put him up front and move Wilf out wide left. I suppose I can put that to you, Albert, and say Wilf went out left and he just looks like an absolute world beater. And I know the stats say that, you know, he scored loads of goals as a centre forward for us this season. And, you know, he's having his best season numbers wise in that sense. But you put him out wide left and he's unplayable.
Absolutely. I always prefer Wilf out wide because, you know, you can get the ball to him sooner. And listen, he's capable of doing that when he plays up front. I'm not saying he's bad up front, but I think the way we play and the way that we rely on him, I think the nearer he is to the midfield, he can get the ball and he can carry us up the pitch. It's what happens after that that's been our problem. It's creating clear-cut chances and, you know, Benteke not having to come so deep to link up and then not being in the box when a cross may or may not be going in. So, yeah, I'm all for seeing Wilf out wide. I think we've got options up front that enable us to play a system to also get the best of Wilf whilst playing out wide.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, we said it before that we all know Wilf's a winger. I know he says he wants to play up front, but even when he gets the ball on the wing and cuts inside, you know, I'm a lot more confident that he's going to get a good shot off now than I was a few years ago. But one player that I thought made a big difference in the Everton game was Schlupp when he came on because, you know, he's quite a dynamic player. He does get the ball and run forward, which, you know, we miss sorely at times. And I think, you know, if he was to start the game instead of Ayew, I wouldn't have any problem with that at all. I think it allows us to get up the pitch a bit quicker. It allows, more support to the strikers, like Albert was saying, you know, so we don't see the ball pumped up to Benteke and then there's like 60 yards of greenery before you see another Palace player. So, I mean, I would like Wilf to start out wide. I don't see it happening, obviously, but it's good to know that we've not been talking shit for the whole season, that when he does quite well, he starts to look like an absolute beast.
Well, I've got 2 points here. I'll start with Schlupp. I just don't, again, pretty much like the Benteke. So I don't think Schlupp's going to get thrown into this one because I don't think the match fitness is there. And you don't want it to be thrown in against a team that you're going to have to run your ass off the ball constantly because, let's face it, Chelsea are going to have most of the ball. And Jeff Schlupp's going to be knackered before half-time comes around if he starts. So maybe 20 minutes for him at the end would be the wiser approach there. The difference about Wilf playing out left in this game versus how he looked in the Everton game is particularly not just when he went out left exclusively, but also in the first half when he drifted out left a few times. The difference being is that the right-sided centre-back of the three for Everton was Michael Keane, and he just looks like a centre-back out wide. And Wilf just slowed him down, and as soon as he slowed him down, sped back up, and Keane just had no chance of following him, and he just destroyed him over and over again. And then when we moved him out left, they replaced Coleman with Godfrey to try and counter that and try and give him the extra support. But Godfrey kept wandering off up the pitch, and Zaha just floated into that space anyway. And that's how we used to, if you think about it, that's how we used to beat Everton back when we first got promoted to the Premier League. They played three at the back. Their fullbacks had pushed on far too much, and Bolasie and Zaha would just exploit the space in behind. And I think if that game went on a few minutes longer, we might have nicked a winner, to be honest, because we were really starting to create a lot of chances. But the difference being, when we play Chelsea, the right-sided centre-back of the three is going to be Azpilicueta, who's natural out there. He's a right-back by trade, so he's going to feel a lot more comfortable going out there and defending against a winger. Of course, it's still difficult to defend against Wilf at the best of times, and we'll see that battle a lot because looking at the stats, Chelsea attack down the left and we attack down the right and we attack down the left. So that's where the battle in this game is going to take place. It's going to be PVA, Zaha and Eze against Azpilicueta, Callum Hudson-Odoi and Mason Mount is the one who drifts out wide on that side. So that's where the battle is going to be won and lost in this game. And it's whichever ones can get pressed down those side and keep the other ones quiet is the team that's going to perhaps create the better chances to win the game. But yeah, going to certainly be an interesting battle on that side. last thing I wanted to touch on was we're getting to the end of the season, and it's probably not one for this game for reasons we've already talked about with Chelsea being a difficult opposition. But we're safe now. I think we can happily say no one's gone down on 38 points for a long time, and we're 12 points clear of the relegation zone. And look at it, Fulham aren't going to pin enough wins together to overturn that deficit. It's just not going to happen. So I think we can safely say we're safe. And we talked about this last season, and we continued to play our first team players and lost 7, drew 1 of the last 8 games. But this year we have an under-18s team that is absolutely thriving, gone top of the league after another, 4-0 and 5-1 wins in the last week. Top of the league, really looking amazing, playing incredible football. And now we have genuine players in that under-18s where you can say you've got to give them a chance. Like the season they've had, you've got David Omolabu scored a hat-trick this weekend. And he's, I think that was his 14th and 15th goals of the season, something like that. You've got Rakitić is just, he looks like Wilf. He looks like a young Wilf. That's what he looks like. And you've got a few other players across the board there. You've got Adeyemola, the left back, who's looking really good as well. So we've got players now you want to start to filter through. So again, same questions that we asked last year. Is Roy under a bit more pressure this year to do it, Albert? Because they are having such a great season. And what's the odd 5-10 minutes here at the end of the game to give them a chance and B, give us fans a bit of something to be excited about?
Yeah, he ain't doing it.
Now, is this like, is Roy really reluctant with you team players? Because he has brought some through. Now, people argue the necessity of Aaron Wan-Bissaka that he didn't, it was because of injuries that he came through. But then you'll hear counter arguments that Roy Hodgson blocked his loan move out at the beginning of the season because he said he was going to get minutes later in the season and he wanted to keep him in touch. So I think that's often overlooked and people just tend to lean on the fact that we had injuries. He's not been scared to put Tyrick Mitchell into the team. He's put him in there often.
He's not been scared to take him out either.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, Patrick Van Aanholt is a well-established Premier League fullback, and you don't want to throw young players in there, and you know, you want to throw him in there and end up like, if you think the Wolves game where Traore just wrecks him basically because of the strength and pace and power that he had. You don't want him to be on the end of too many games like that where he's really, really struggling and it gets his confidence down. So you manage him a bit. I'm trying to play devil's advocate a bit here. I think that Roy is probably reluctant to put youth team players in, but I don't know. Albert doesn't think it's going to happen. Hesketh, can you see any of these, well, the three I mentioned, any of them getting any minutes before the end of the season?
I can't. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them in the squad, on the bench, especially at the moment when we have got injuries, you know. If ever there was a time that they could push to get on the bench, it's now, before some of these players start coming back. But I think Roy's thing is that he has to trust the player and you know, trust that they understand what he wants and the system and the process and all that sort of thing. And the likelihood of any of the under-18s doing that and getting on the bench, I think, is remote. Not because they're not talented, because they obviously are, but more because I don't think it really fits what Roy needs, even though there's, you know, not huge amounts to play for.
Yeah, but I wonder, the way bonuses are structured and stuff like that, and it might even work for a manager as well as the players, that it might all be done on placement in the league. So it's kind of like you'll get more bonuses at the end of the season. The higher the league you finish, the higher up you finish up the league, even if it's just one place, it's worth putting in the effort to finish that one place higher. So, yeah, and so the incentive doesn't seem to be there to do that if it's, you know, by putting youth team players. But, you know, you could throw one of these in and they could be the next Wayne Rooney or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, is, you know, David Moyes didn't blink and threw Wayne Rooney in as a 17-year-old. Well, you find out if they sink or swim when you put them in, right? I'm not saying David Omolabi is going to turn out to be the next Wayne Rooney or anything like that, but do you know what I mean? You've got to give them the chance to find out. So hopefully we see it, but who knows?
I hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong, but like you say, those league places in the Premier League are worth a sizable chunk of money. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't nick another one or two of those. And I'm sure that'll be not just, you know, not just Roy Hodgson. I'm sure there'll be pressure from above as well. You know, like we need the money. So,
yeah. Well, I think particularly they'll want to hold on to the one we've got at the moment. I think the place we've got at the moment is probably going to be our target to finish at the end of the season, especially if you think who's above us in terms of Leeds, Villa and Arsenal were the three teams that we're aiming at above us. I think they're going to be tougher to catch, particularly with when Villa get Grealish back and stuff. It's going to be tough to overturn that deficit in points. But, you know, Southampton are starting to pick up results again, so we want to sort of hold Southampton off behind us and hold Burnley off and things like that. So, I think they'll be happy with the position we're in at the moment. Right. Let's just get into predictions then. So what we got? Both teams, 1-2, drawn 3, lost one of the last six in the Premier League. There's been under 2.5 goals in Palace's last three home games and six of Chelsea's last seven away games. So looks like a low-scoring affair, which we're used to at Selhurst Park. So let me guess. I'm going to go, Hesketh's going to say 2-0. Then Albert's going to say he wants 2-0, but it will go 1-0 Chelsea. No.
Oh, close. I am going 2-0.
I'm going 2-1.
2-1.
To Chelsea, just for the record.
Yeah,
for the record. You see, you could have hung that, left it open. And then, you know, if Palace nicked a 2-1, you could have been like, I told you so. 5:30 on a Saturday at Selhurst. I'm going to go for a 0-0. Boring game. I'll take it.
Up the pink chimneys.
It'll be a bit like, I'm going to sound like, did you hear Gary Neville on Monday Night Football with the, was it Monday night? Yeah, Monday night after us, the West Ham Wolves game, where he said this is going to be a really dreadful game. Both teams really, really structured and it's going to be boring and I think it's going to be a painful watch. And then it's like 3-1 at halftime. Yeah, excellent viewing. So that's hopefully that's what it will be. And Palace will win 3-2. I'll take it. But
Yeah, and I'm off. I'm off down to the ground at 3 o'clock to meet the photographer Seb. I've bought one of his prints off of him, which is going to be framed, put up on the wall. If you look on his Instagram, the corner shot of the Homesdale when Arthur, and it's at night, and you can basically just see the floodlights and like the shadows of the stadium. It's a great picture. So yeah, looking forward to that. Right. Thanks, guys, for joining, as always. Thanks for putting up with my tongue-tied beer antics. And thanks for everyone listening. We'll be back next week when we play...
Football.
Football, all of the time. I'm pretty sure it's just Saturdays now, isn't it, going forward? We've not got any more midweekers, have we? I know you're shouting at me, and I know listening to this, you're probably like, why don't you just look ahead? We're away at Southampton. No, it's been postponed. We've got another week off.
We have. The next game's the 26th.
Yeah.
Don't sound too excited.
They made the FA Cup, didn't they? They're still in the FA Cup, Southampton, so it's been postponed. Do we ever play? You have 3 weeks off, and then you get another week off.
The FA Cup, imagine that.
Yeah, so okay then. So then the next game after that is then a Monday. It looks like a Monday.
Saturdays from now on, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's 26th of April is our next game. So I think that's a Monday night.
That is a Monday night.
So that's against Leicester. The team we've taken the most points off in Premier League history is Leicester. We haven't taken more points off any other team. 27 Premier League points.
2-0 Leicester.
More stats like that on the preview pod next time.
Heskiff doesn't need to do the preview in 2 weeks because he's just dropped his prediction now. You have 2 weeks off, Heskiff.
Easy.
I saw a great stat the other day with Matt when Leicester lost to Man City the other night, and they said that Jamie Vardy only had 14 touches, which is the second fewest touches he's ever had in his entire career. The other game was when they lost 5-0 to Crystal Palace. And he only had 8 touches.
He had a bad arm back then, though. So,
yeah, true story. Right, brilliant. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, not next week, where we'll be building you up to Palace's trip to the King Power Stadium for our best opponents. Let's face it, 27 points, lads. It's 3 points. Don't know what you're worried about.
We'll see.
But listen out for the match report this weekend. It will be recorded on Sunday, where Hambo will be taking you through with two other panels. Maybe DR will be back again. It was nice to hear him back on the match report this week. So until 2 weeks' time, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.